Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Death Undone by Richard Amis, narrated by Cooper North. Chapter 1. Marcel. The mage was possessed. A strange oiliness flooded Leon West's amber eyes, his smile not belonging to that pale face. Even his body language wasn't right. He stood too straight, an aura of alien menace about him, and his soft voice was now a distorted, genderless sound. What the hell? I didn't know the guy inside out, but I knew enough to register those creepy signs of change and possession. Shit. Yvonne, his mother and also a mage, threw a potion at him. The vial struck his chest, bursting into a mist of gold petals. They formed a circle around his middle, spinning, throwing off flecks of glittering light.
"This will hold him," she said. "And whatever is inside, my poor boy."
"For how long?" I asked, after taking a somewhat relieved breath.
"Hopefully long enough to figure something out."
She groaned, touching the back of her bleeding head from where her son had thrown her across the bedroom. I crouched beside her.
"We need to get you some help. Do you have any more accelerant type B?"
The illegal healing substance would sort her out, maybe make her a bit silly for a while after, seeing as it could make you trip as if on drugs. But at least the bleeding would stop.
"There's some in the kitchen," she answered.
Leon cocked his head from side to side, the thing inside him fascinated by the spinning, magical petals. The magic was similar to the binding thread of my necrotic power, only mine worked exclusively on ghosts, and was green.
"Please hold."
I moved across the bedroom of Yvonne's flat, one of two flats she owned, getting as far as the doorway before a rush of ice shot through my veins.
Oh, shit!
I froze in place, one foot on the ground, the other raised. Leon chuckled.
"How amusing you are, false death."
My body turned of its own volition to face him, a fresh flood of ice petrifying every muscle.
False death.
The thing inside the mage hit the nail on the head there. I was the new death, my immortal lover experiencing a severe malfunction in his powers, leaving me with diluted and distorted versions of his deathly abilities. Another mystery he was off to solve on Mount Everest, the distance between us, agony. God, I missed him.
"I can smell him on you," Leon said, the ring of gold still around his waist. "The strange sense of copulation, the sweet burn of love on your soul, forever drawn together, forever bound."
I couldn't move my tongue to respond.
"I think I will make you my guide," he added. "You will show me this garden of wonders."
He sniffed the air deeply, closing his eyes.
"So many strands, so much rich energy. I cannot wait to explore."
What the hell was this thing? A curious monster taking a holiday in our realm?
"Son,"
Yvonne cut in, trying to get to her feet.
"Talk to me. Fight this."
Leon tilted his head at her, his auburn hair turning pure white, black streaks spreading through it.
"Mother,"
he responded.
"The dead mother, the hiding mother,"
he sniffed.
"A powerful mage."
"Talk to me, son,"
Yvonne tried. Leon closed a hand around a cluster of petals, pulling them from the ring. The other petals puffed out of existence, the ring broken. But when Leon opened his hand, golden light shone in his palm, painting his face.
"Fascinating,"
he said, bringing his hand closer to his mouth. Was he about to... He ate the magic, a ball of golden light sliding behind the skin of his throat.
Oh, dear God.
Silence fell over the room, Leon's eyes moving between me and Yvonne. No other part of him so much as twitched. Had swallowing the magic worked against him, gluing him to the spot? And what sort of creature could take magic and treat it like an oyster? Damn!
"Delicious," Leon declared.
Son, please.
Yvonne collapsed forward onto her hands, retching, the back of her clothes soaked with blood. If I didn't act now, she could die. Not on my watch. No fucking way. I made an attempt to push against the cold, locking me in place, my deathly powers buried out of reach at the deepest part of me. Shit.
Are you trying to resist me, false death?
My head warmed, heat spreading into my throat. I gasped, choking on the air. Leon chuckled. Gathering my composure, I managed to get out.
Who are you?
He smiled, attention falling to Yvonne.
Your death is coming. Lucky for you, false death is here to aid your journey to the next stage.
I tried pleading.
You have to let me help her.
Eyes back to me.
And you will, once her mortal heart stops beating.
He sniffed the air again.
So much impending loss. A garden drowning in perpetual grief.
I mean, let me heal her, I returned. She doesn't have to die. He cocked his head.
A crossroads. Please, let me help her. The false death wants to be a form of life.
I just want to help her. Leon looked to the ceiling.
She is not your concern.
Yes, she is. And she's Leon's, too.
Leon.
The body you stole. He clapped his hands together, blowing the entire right wall out. Bricks and glass spat into the night air, bitter wind howling inside the flat. Screams and car alarms wailed. Oh, God. Had the debris killed anyone? Seconds later, I sensed three newly dead down on the street, the ghosts calling to me, afraid, in need of comfort.
Stop this! I cried.
Yvonne groaned, her hands giving way, her chin smacked off the carpet, her body falling still.
Stop this! I tried again.
Leon stepped over the unconscious Yvonne, coming for me.
I think false death's duties can wait. I am ready to explore with my silver-haired guide.
Something told me he didn't need a guide.
Please, don't do this.
He touched my hair, curling a strand in his finger.
Pretty.
Please, whatever it is you want, I can... Leon plucked a strand of my hair, laying it across his extended tongue.
Please.
This was going nowhere. He swallowed my hair. Fresh warmth spread to my shoulders, down to my elbows.
Your flavor is sweet, he said, stepping closer.
Caramel. Death always mentioned my caramel scent. Leon leaned in, pressing the tip of his nose to my left cheek.
Sweet enough for these mortal jaws to devour.
His laughter sent extra ice into my veins, moving back up my arms to my neck.
What do you want?
I asked, a heavy lump in my throat.
Are you there?
The dead called to me.
To be what I was made to be.
He backed off. I swallowed.
And what's that? Chaos. A consequence.
He flexed his fingers, then slapped a hand on each of my temples, crushing my head like a vice.
Show me a terrible scenario. What would bring devastating chaos, false death? Reveal the fears of this world. Guide me.
Oily streaks bled across my vision, drowning my eyesight in iridescent blackness. For a moment, I believed this thing was about to move from Leon into me, my defenses scrambling to build any sort of wall to keep it back. Instead, I found myself standing in the gangway of an empty movie theater. Leon sat beside me, his eyes on the large screen with white noise buzzing across it. I stood up, free from my icy hold, taking in my surroundings. Shadows dripped down the walls. The oil-stained carpet pulsated as if some living thing slept beneath the dirty threads. Only the seats were relatively normal, red and worn, the one next to me sporting a huge slash through the middle of the fabric.
"Sit down," Leon said. "Enjoy the film."
I looked for an exit, spotting nothing.
"What film? It's just white noise." "Be patient. Sit. Enjoy."
"I'd rather stand."
"Sit, or I will rip your jaw off."
I would recover from a jaw attack with the healing thread of my powers, but I'd rather spare myself the experience. I sat down.
"Who are you?" "A curious consequence."
"What does that mean?"
"Caramel," he responded.
"What?" He turned to face me, those eyes pure obsidian.
"Your flavor and smell, it is a popular sweetness in this world."
God, he was freaking me out.
"I suppose it is. As are establishments such as these," he added. "Mortals gather to be thrilled, to be moved, to laugh at the moving pictures, the storylines. A rather lovely pastime."
This thing was learning about us as it went along. What the hell was it? Some sort of demonic entity? As far as I knew, demons did not exist. But then I was just a man living through a crazy time. Before recently, I never knew about the council managing death and life, the onyx and copper keys, all of that stuff. So maybe a revelation that demons were real could come and join in with the mind-blowing fun.
"What are you?" I tried again. "A demon?"
Leon faced the screen.
"I am not interested in such mortal loveliness. I know it is nothing but a veil hiding the rot within."
"Are you a demon?" I pressed with extra assertiveness.
"Demon? Are you one?"
He blinked at the screen.
"I am real, false death."
I guess that was a no, then.
"I am the consequence of temptation."
Ugh, cryptic wanker. "What does that mean?" The theater screen changed, a 10-second countdown bleeping to zero. Music kicked in, some brassy number plucked out of the 1950s, grainy images rolling by. Violent images from history. War, murder, news reports on natural disasters, every single negative and terrible aspect of humanity. I closed my eyes, but only saw more destruction, the kind caused by the curse on my love for death. Centuries of catastrophe, of unnecessary loss. Opening my eyes, I got more of it, the images moving faster, rolling from color to black and white, then back again. Blood spattered the screen. It cracked, caught fire, screams of the past ripping through the theater. I gripped the arms of the chair, my hold so intense I waited for them to break. "Stop!" I cried. But the horror went on, the screams brutal, blood leaking through the crack. Flames spread across the screen, spewing coils of smoke into the air.
"Stop this!" I roared.
A responding, blood-curdling screech forced me to cover my ears. It kept going, trying to break through the shield of my hands.
"Stop! Stop! Stop!"
The screen collapsed, cracks spreading across the ceiling. My chair rocked, jolted, sinking into the ground. I tried to get up, none of my muscles responding. Not even my hands, unmovable from protecting my ears.
"What the fuck is going on?"
I bellowed, the chair sinking deeper. Leon kept his attention forward, rocking gently side to side. I didn't understand. Absolutely nothing this thing waffled on about made sense. Okay, maybe one thing. It wanted chaos. That I got. What I saw in this damn movie theater. The row of seats before me collapsed, vanishing into a pool of oil. It splashed at me, its ominous waves ready to swallow me. I tried moving again, recoiling from the threat of drowning, or God only knew what horror waited to fuck me up. More of the ceiling cracked, oil spilling out, curtains of obsidian cascading either side of me. closing in, the walls collapsing, the chair sinking, oil rising. Screams outside my hands, screams in my head. Stop! Please just stop! A final rumble and the theatre collapsed, the debris crushing my body, hammering me into oily depths.
Chapter 2. Death. Bathed in the magnificent iridescent light of my mirror-born friend, my feet gently met solid ground. A safe arrival, carried through a descent into darkness in the arms of Winnie, protected from the collapsing council realm. It boomed and crashed and died around us, its destruction inches away from this glowing cocoon, but no harm came to me. Because of Winnie. Once a fish who swam in the glass of mirrors, who didn't boast arms or a big body or this protective light. Until now. Pitch-black darkness clung to the edges of her radiance. She released her hold, allowing me to turn and face her.
"How are you feeling, dear one?" she asked,
her voice a melodious balm. I saw a humanoid form in the light, too bright to make out fully, more an outline of her feminine shape. "Confused, Winnie. Very, very confused." The light dimmed, revealing an angular face, long curls of hair spun from her light, spiraling down her back. She had lips, ears, eyes shaped like diamonds that were no longer emerald, now more the shade of pearls. A naked womanly body, practically celestial, my guardian angel, and certainly not a fish. Was this really her? Winnie? Her strange diamond eyes blinked, her lips curving upward in a smile.
"This is my final gift to you."
I did not like the words final and gift being bedfellows. "How is this happening? How did you break free of the mirror?" A muffled boom came from beyond the light.
"Let me get you to a safe place first, dear one. Then I will explain everything."
The shock sat as a hot ball nestled beneath my ribcage. "I feel like I'm dreaming this."
"More of a nightmare," she responded.
A second boom was followed by the roar of an anguished voice. Winnie turned her head.
"The Lich?"
"Nick, he's out there."
"Apparently so."
"You'd think he'd teleport himself to safety."
"He wants the Death Stone."
Underneath my shock and fear, I wanted Nicholas West to finally receive his comeuppance. He was unkillable, being a lich, and could only be destroyed if his phylactery was, or by being starved of his ghost feeding to the point his phylactery faded away. However, he could certainly be hurt, and what better place to be hurt than in a crumbling realm? I pictured him buried under rubble, starving, contemplating his choices, begging for the mercy he would never receive. His plans to become the new death by taking the Death Stone a failure. I heard him cry out in the dark, calling the name of Leon, his husband. "What now, Winnie?"
"One moment."
Her hands were open, palms flat, and feeling the air as a mime would mimic touching a wall. "What are you looking for?"
"One moment," she repeated.
I had come to the council realm for answers, for help to restore my broken power. What I received was information on a corrupt council, a group of beings who tainted everything in order to prove a point, to establish control over me with a curse, to keep me from loving Marcel in every lifetime. I am built for love. For so long I believed myself a rebel, a fool for love. An immortal who should not experience the complicated threads of love, of passion, only be compassionate to the dead I sent to the spirit plane. Cursed for loving a mortal. The council made sure I believed that narrative, that every stab of guilt brought magnified sorrow to my eternal soul every second of every day. Only it wasn't true. There was no curse for my love, only the one perpetrated by a wish to a being lurking behind the door protecting the life and death stones. Another revelation.
My understanding of how the copper and onyx keys worked completely skewered in one huge sweep. In order to restore my powers, I had to reconnect with the Death Stone, right the wrongs I'd set in motion by walking away from my duty, save Marcel from powers his mind and body were not designed to handle. But that trapped being, the Whisper, destroyed the Council Realm, now free to spread more chaos, more destruction. It had to be stopped. I had to get to my stone before Nick could. The fact I was still standing meant my stone remained intact, lost in the dark, and the curse upon Marcel and I had been lifted by Nick turning the copper key away from its tainted position before everything fell apart. No more hiding, no more catastrophes tied up with my love anymore. We were finally free from the cycle of pain. Only there would be nothing to look forward to if I didn't get to my stone or stop the Whisper. I watched my glowing companion pause at a certain point, her back to me.
Here.
I moved up to her side, her body radiating pure joy. What is it?
A weak point.
Winnie curled her right hand into a fist, pulling her arm back.
This may be loud.
I readied myself, taking a small step back.
Death!
Nick's muffled roar bounced off the light, somewhere to the west of me.
What about him?
I asked. But Winnie swung her punch, her fist colliding with the dark. The clang of a gong bellowed, shaking the ground, reverberating through my bones. She struck again. A ripple of pink energy revealed the lines of a wall, hexagonal shapes pressed together like honeycomb. She punched the spot for a third time, the lines becoming brighter, spidery fissures spreading across the hexagons.
Almost there,
she said, cracking her knuckles in preparation for strike four.
Death!
Came Nick's voice again. Rocks tumbled. He grunted, cursing.
Where are you? Give me my stone!
Winnie hit the wall again, the fissures widening, spreading further.
Death!
I heard Nick fall over.
You won't have it! It's mine! Your time's over!
What a stupid bastard.
He must come with us,
Winnie said, flexing her fingers. Does that hurt? I asked.
No, the Lich must come with us, dear one.
Why?
To remove the risk of him stumbling upon the stones.
I looked over in the direction of Nick's stumbling and bellows. Shouldn't I be searching the darkness for the stones myself?
No, it is not safe.
But I have to find them.
Soon.
She punched the wall for a sixth time.
Let the realm fully collapse first.
An unpleasant thought. Winnie's sixth strike was the charm. Her fist broke through the honeycomb, the area around her hand collapsing, opening a jagged doorway. Translucent mist immediately clung to its edges, a rose quartz light filling the gap. The light of the spirit plane. Winnie turned to face me, taking my hands.
You're so warm, I breathed. Go through, dear one. I will follow.
I didn't want her to ever let me go. With him.
With the Lich, yes.
Don't do it. Let him fade in the dark. She released my hands, my skin suddenly too cold.
And if he finds the stones, she countered.
Take my hands again, please. Then he gets to be a new me. Fine. Point taken.
Step through the door, dear one. Go home.
Marcel is my home. I did as she asked, ducking slightly to cross the threshold. Immediately the spirit plane poured at me, calling to its lost master. It recognized me, understood I wasn't quite myself. I dropped to my knees, then lay down in the grassy meadow at the edge of a lake, basking in the pink sun. The lake was home to a plethora of fish for human souls to pluck from the water and eat, though never actually killing them. The fish would simply carry on, returning to the water in an endless, painless cycle of illusion, part of the fabric of making this realm a functioning world, a life beyond life. My home. My beautiful home. The fine mist clung to me, as soothing as a balm to an itch. It flowed for a few random hours every day, bringing constant peace to the realm. I'm sorry about all this, I told my home, fingers in the grass. I will make it right. If only Marcel was here to lay beside me to enjoy this moment.
What are you doing?
Nick's voice shattered the peace. I sat up, watching him stumble through the hole in the realm. Winnie followed, a menacing scowl on her face.
Be more grateful, she said, shoving him forward.
He stumbled again, then spun on her.
Where the fuck am I?
She ignored him, turning her back.
Answer me,
he spat. There were coils of her light around his wrists. He held up his wrists.
And what are these?
To keep you close, Winnie said.
Nick sneered at her with no comeback. Winnie lifted her hands, pinching a thumb and forefinger together, moving them as if sewing threads. It reminded me of Marcel knitting. Crisscrossed light covered the doorway, each strand blinking after Winnie attached the threads. Nick glanced over his shoulder, his green eyes widening as soon as he noticed me. He brushed down his grubby clothes, his sun-kissed features switching to his usual arrogance, his smile cocked in a smirk.
"Interesting turn of events, eh?" he said, approaching me.
"That's what happens when you open doors designed to stay closed," I retorted, now on my feet.
"An unexpected result."
"Was it really?" he shrugged.
"I clearly didn't plan ahead, and now I'm stuck because of your friend over there."
"You can't teleport."
"For the time being."
"Nice move, Winnie." "You could have left the council realm any time you liked, but you're too drunk on power to think straight." His smirk only grew.
"Oh, the power! The power!"
He raised his arms, lifting his head to the sky.
"Give me the power!"
Nick's mock dramatic cry scared a white bird away from the edge of the lake. Winnie still wove her pretty strands across the door.
"Don't bother lecturing me," Nick said, putting his hands on his hips.
"Someone has to," he laughed, snapping a finger.
"Ooh, careful now. Such razor-sharp wittiness might cut your fingers."
A growl rumbled out of my throat. "You're lucky my friend over there is accommodating."
"Is that so?"
The lich examined his surroundings and the busy mirror-born.
"Is this the spirit plane?"
I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of an answer.
"Well?"
"Yes, it is," he nodded, crouching to run his fingers through the mist.
"It's very pink."
"Problem?"
"No. I love pink."
He straightened.
"So, what now?"
"I don't know." How awful to admit that to him.
"What do you mean, you don't know?"
"Do you require a translation into wankface language?" Another chuckle.
"You're so full of Marcel's spit and spunk, you're starting to sound like him."
His smirk dropped.
"I won't be held prisoner here. Mark my wank-face words."
"Good luck getting out." His cheeks flushed crimson.
"I will, Death. I will."
"Godspeed, as the mortals say." The bastard stroked his chin as if he found me a curiosity.
"To think I offered you so much truth."
He'd been part of the council before they threw him out for voting to not curse me and Marcel. Went by the name Omega back then. His kindness ended there. "And how many times have you tried to kill Marcel?" I asked. He glowered and smiled at the same time. Impressive.
"He got in my way, just like you have on multiple occasions. Never mind, I don't give up easily."
"My stone
is still beating." "Wait, that doesn't sound right."
He chuckled at his own silliness.
"We would know if it had been damaged or destroyed, trust me."
Trust and Nicholas West do not walk hand in hand.
Ooh, listen to you, Pontific.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?